Good afternoon, everyone. This has been quite an eventful week. I think we'll all agree. I'll be talking a little bit more about that later, and also be reading to you a letter from our Council of Elders and our President about that event. And I would like to lead us in a congregational prayer a little bit later for our nation and our President and for those who've been killed. We know there is no final total yet to the number who will finally be turned up as dead or missing, just totally missing. So it is certainly a major catastrophe. No one knows yet for sure how it will affect our economy. The stock market opens again on Monday, so we need to pray about that, think about that. I'm going to save most of my comments for a message on trumpets. That's on Tuesday. So please remember, brethren, the Feast of Trumpets is coming Tuesday, and we'll be meeting at the Scottish Rite, where we used to meet in Seattle, because we'll be having Tacoma and Olympia join us, and we'll be having one service at 12 noon on the Feast of Trumpets, because Mr. Seforek is in Montana for the Feast of Trumpets. How does God look at this? Mr. Holliday was helping us to have a perspective on that in his sermonette. How does God look at this event? What does it mean? What does it tell us? What messages does it send? And just as important, what is our responsibility as God's people when something like this happens? It's not the end yet, but this is certainly, even the Gulf War, that was over there, right? This is bringing it home to our country, attacks. And never before have hijackers been able to hijack four airplanes approximately the same time and use them as missiles to do their destructive damage. I won't take the time, because I don't have the time, to comment on some of the stories coming out, but we'll do so at the Feast of Trumpets on Tuesday. The amazing events that unfolded, the amazing story of the one hijacked plane that didn't make it to its destination because some of the men on board came up with a plan to foil the hijackers. Everyone was killed, but they suspect, as you have already heard, that that plane may have been headed for the White House itself. So how does God expect us to react? What does he want us to do? Just continue on as normal? We're going to talk about that today. Let God speak to us through his word. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. An example for us. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And so Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. So that's one of the holy days, isn't it? And then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law, where God's servants would stand up and read the law of God to them for hours and make the meaning clear to them. Verse 8, notice it says, and so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And so what I would like to do, brethren, is read from the book of the law today. Deuteronomy is the book that I have chosen, which is a summary of the law of God, the commandments of God, the covenants of God, the promises of God. Book of Deuteronomy. And we'll just let God speak to us today, because we are his people, aren't we? And just as a reminder, at the beginning of this message, You all know who this nation basically is. Now, we know there are many nationalities and many races, but at the founding of this nation, it was a fulfillment of prophecies in the Bible where God predicted that the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would become great. Jacob had a son, Joseph, and he had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. You all know that story. And Ephraim would become a multitude of nations, and Joseph would become a great nation on the earth, and that's America. And the booklet that United has published this year, as a reminder for you, the United States and Britain in Bible prophecy, and I say this in case there are some here who do not understand who we are as a people and a nation. So when we go through the book of the law, when it's talking about God's people Israel, you'll know who that applies to. And certainly everyone living with God's people who are Israelites would be affected as well. So let's begin in the book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 8, with the understanding, one of the keys of understanding Bible prophecy is who is Israel in the Bible. It is not just the Jews in the Holy Land, is it, brethren? Chapter 7 I want to begin with first. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 13. Where God writes to Israel in Moses' time, and he says through Moses, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Now we know that being an Israelite doesn't make you better than anyone else. It makes you more responsible because of God's decision and what he was going to do, his plan. He goes on in verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath," and here's one of the keys, God swore an oath, made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't he, of faithfulness to their descendants. "Because God loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them." How sad it is, isn't it, brethren, that some think that God's laws, statutes, and judgments and commandments were given only to the Jewish people? And verse 12, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to give you, to give your fathers to give you." And we're going to read on a little more from the book of the law. Now chapter 8. As a reminder, brethren, for us, God's people, descendants either physically of these people or have become spiritual Israelites through conversion, and therefore the same promises are given to all who are Abraham's seed by faith through Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you will bless or praise, that is, the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which I command you today. This particular verse, verse 11, is one that always stands out to me because when God was first calling me and opening my mind to understand the Bible and the truth of the Bible, I was one day reading this. I was doing the correspondence course, a Bible correspondence course. And I read this verse, and it was kind of like all of a sudden it was highlighted in my mind. It hit me that I was supposed to be keeping God's commandments for the first time in my life. That's why this verse, every time I read that, I think back to 1959 when God was first calling me. That verse, I don't know if you've ever read the Bible, and all of a sudden the Bible is just hits you. I've got to be doing that. And that was the beginning for me, one of the beginnings in my life that changed my life. And notice verses 18 through 20. And if you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God. And how many are forgetting the God of Israel and his way of life, and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And so here is Moses summarizing the covenant, the promises that God made with his people, and reviewing them before these people at this time. And that's what I want to do with you today from the book of the law of Moses. Chapter 10. And let's read together as God's people, verses 12 through 17. And as we go through these scriptures that I have today, it will be God reminding us of who he is and who we are as a nation, why some of these things are beginning to happen. Like I said, the details, more details about prophetic events will be covered on the Day of Trumpets. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 17. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Brethren, are we doing that yet? You know, what is happening here, there are things that can help us, as David Holliday was saying, to examine our lives. Leon and I had already decided before this event to no longer even talk about or think about retirement, because I was for a time. I told you that. I'm getting up there in my 60s, right? Next birthday I'll be 65, and been in the ministry 40-some years, and in the church, in the ministry 38 years, and in the church 41 years. I'm not thinking about it any longer. I don't know what you're thinking about in your life, but I'm no longer thinking about Leanne and I, well, we deserve retirement, and we deserve to get out here and just go to pasture. No, we don't. This nation's life and our people is at stake, and I want to be a part of that as long as I have a mind and health and energy. I want to be active and involved serving God. It's one of the things Leanne and I have decided and dedicated our life, renewed our baptismal vows, you might say, and our commitment and dedication to God. That's what this is saying. We're supposed to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, being, and soul. And we weren't called to someday retire. Now, I know it's okay to retire if you're retired or out there retiring. I'm talking about retiring from serving God and being involved in the church and involved in the work. Not saying I'm going to sit back because now I've been at it too long. That's a state of mind I have found. It's an attitude. And when you allow yourself, and I did for a while, to get into a state of mind and into an attitude, I'm tired, I'm worn out. Well, I've repented of being tired and worn out. Just want you to know. Because when I read the law of God and the word of God, what it's telling me, I look at the example of God's servants. They never retired. They died serving God and doing his work. Let's read on. This is chapter 10. We're going through verses 12 through 17. Notice verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Now, this is not a white supremacist doctrine, is it, brethren? It's God's plan for salvation for mankind through his people Israel. Therefore, he says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Well, I see Linda Stalder. You are here, Linda. And Merv, her husband. I mentioned that you were going to be here today. Can you believe that, brethren? Linda's an example of that, too. Just very good. Thank you. I think she deserves that. I mean, the Ekmans and I just visited her in the hospital, and she was having her blood going through a machine, and they were harvesting out stem cells for a bone marrow transplant to take place later. And she was very weak, and here she is in church. That's what Dick Ekman said. You just keep coming. And Merv keeps coming with you, your faithful husband. And what God's holy word, the law of God, says to us, and this is as much for us today, brethren, as it was for ancient Israel way back then. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised physically or not, men. Boy, you better have the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome one who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. God is fair and good and just. Let's go on to chapter 11 as we read in the book of the law about what God thinks about this nation and his people and who we are. Chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. Notice these words, and in your soul. That means even in your emotions and feelings and spirit, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You're always keeping them in your mind and heart. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, and to give them like the days of the heavens above the earth. Drop down to verses 26 through 28 of this book of the law of God. And behold, God says to his people, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Now let's go to chapter 28 of the book of the law, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We'll read verses 1 through 3. Just hitting the highlights, brethren, of what God thinks and what he said. These same words apply to our people and our nation today. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, and that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And we used to be more of a nation of God-fearing people than we are today. We all know that, don't we? We all know God is being kicked out of our schools, and many people are trying to kick him out of every aspect of our lives. A crusade to get rid of God. You can't talk about him in school and can't pray publicly. As we kick God out, you all know what's going to happen. But he goes on to say in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Now down verses 9 and 10. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And that's the way it's been in much of our history, hasn't it, brethren? And notice verses 12 and 13, chapter 28. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. How long has it been, brethren, since we've reviewed God's promises? Verses 15 and 16. Now begins, what if we don't obey God and keep his laws and commandments and begin to push him out of our life or ignore him as a people and as a nation? Notice verse 15 and 16. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Verse 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Now, that's not going to happen quite yet. But eventually, you will go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. We're not there yet, brethren, on that one, thank God. Notice verses 45 through 47. Verses 45 through 47. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Verse 49. We're reading together, brethren, the law of God. This is what God thinks. Verse 49. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. Verse 52. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. Well, we've seen a type of that just recently, haven't we, brethren, taking place. And look at this dramatic part of Scripture in chapter 30. Chapter 30, verses 11 through 20 in the book of the law. Chapter 30, beginning in verse 11. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, and that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. These are God's words to his people. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, both you, that you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give them. So I wanted to read, brethren, some of that to you today, because we are God's people. And those words still apply to us today. I know it saddens me and hurts my heart to see the way that our nation is going. I know right now there's a renewed patriotism, a renewed unity, and that's good to see. It's a joy to see that, isn't it, in our nation? And we can only pray and hope that it will continue, that there will be many changes in many people's lives and the way they live and what they believe. You know, millions and millions of people in America know the truth. Are you aware of that? I think you are. You know that the work of God and the church of God, the people of God, have been teaching the truth of God, and this knowledge, we all know going way back and even before Mr. Armstrong's time, others were, but and then God used Mr. Armstrong to really begin to proclaim nationally in a very powerful way, and for 50-some years, the awareness of who we are as a people, that we need to get back to keeping the commandments of God and the holy days of God and the commandments of God. And millions of people over the years have read that in the Plain Truth or Bible Correspondence Course or heard the radio program or the telecast. Millions and millions of Americans know this truth, but not yet come to the point of repenting and doing it. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. You and I have an awesome responsibility, brethren, as a people, as a body, as a congregation, as individuals. Let's just review very quickly this message that God has recorded in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. Remember, Ezekiel wrote this about 600 B.C., Remember, just a reminder to you, many of you will remember this as a fact, that the house of Israel, the northern 10 tribes of Israel, went into captivity, it was about 721, 718 B.C., over 100 years before Ezekiel wrote these words. The northern 10 tribes of Israel, God's people, the house of Israel, had already been taken into captivity. But let's see that Ezekiel addresses these Israelites. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. You know, they would get someone, they would have watchmen who could blow the trumpets and warn the people if they saw troops, war coming. What does this mean for us, brethren? I think you're aware of that it is up to us who know what is coming in the future. We've got to keep blowing the trumpet, don't we? See, our job as a people and as a church, you as an individual. Now, it's not wrong to share what you believe when people want to know, when they ask. We all know to let our example shine, to be just keep God's laws and commandments. And if people see you taking off on Saturday from work, going to church, taking off in the middle of the week, going to keep a holy day, that's being an example, letting your light shine. Neighbors may ask, coworkers may ask what you're doing and why you're doing it. You know, it opens the door. Well, this is why I'm doing it. You and I have a responsibility. Let's read what it is. This is talking about the people of God and the church of God. Verse 3, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman see the sword coming, and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Now, I won't go on and read the rest of that message, but it's not new to those of us who've been in the church a long time. Only what I have seen and what you have seen and observed is many people saying the work has been done. And now we can sit back and wait for Christ to come. But the work isn't done. There are other people to reach with the Word of God, the message of God, the way of God, the laws of God, the truth of God, who we are as a people, what's going to be happening in the future as our society continues to degenerate. Now, do you think the government is going to crack down on the internet and get rid of all pornographic sites and immorality? Oh, no. Freedom in our country, right? It's not going to change, unfortunately. But maybe it will change for certain individuals. And maybe God will make that judgment from heaven. Well, I am going to give my people and the people in America so many more years. And I'm going to give my church and my work so many more years to get the message out there before it all comes crashing down. Our responsibility, brethren, is to be renewed and to be fired up and to be rededicated, just like we were when we were first converted, just like you were when you were first baptized. Think about when that took place in your life, when you came to the point that you wanted to make a commitment to God, to Christ, and you wanted to be baptized, and you wanted to be a part of the church, you wanted to be a part of the work of God, and you were willing to make this commitment to God to repent, be baptized, and give him your life. You know, I think about it, how zealous I was. I was a lot younger, yeah. But my spirit is the same. I'm the same person. I'm just older physically. I want, with God's help, that's going to be my goal, with God's help, because I will be desirous, I will be willing for God to renew that same spirit and attitude within me from the point of view of the putting the effort and the energy and the strength into his work. I want us to do that as a congregation. I might mention here that, and I mentioned we've discussed it with the elders of beginning in Seattle. I've talked about it too long and we've not done it, but we're going to do it. That is of forming a media and outreach team in the Seattle congregation. And this will be a team of people who will work together ideas and means and ways and programs, including the ones already going on in the United Church of God that we can take advantage of making the good news available, and booklets like this available. We used to have the Plain Truth Newsstand, make it available. But there are all kinds of programs the church has now. I know Terry Wood, who writes, has volunteered to be a part of that. He came up and told me that if I can help out with that, because he writes for the Seattle Times, some of his articles recently have been in that. And I've already asked, Carl R. You know, we've decided how to distinguish our two Carl Andersons. We have two Carl Andersons in our congregation, right? Carl A. Anderson. This is how we're going to tell the difference from now on. Just keep it in mind. Carl A. Anderson and Carl R. Anderson. And we've asked Carl R. Anderson to be the team leader of our media and outreach team. And some of you else, I may be asking Ann Robinson. She's got a lot to do. I shouldn't be asking you right up here, should I, Ann? But I've mentioned this to you before. Ann has an interest in reaching out to other nations and other people. She's been to many different feast sites around the world and maintains contacts. And we all have different abilities. Alan Stefanin and those who are working on the web. You know, the web is a powerful tool. People can, you know, and I mentioned that way back. Remember Alan? And I talked about that, a team of you, to be brainstorming. And there will be others of you. I haven't mentioned everybody that we talked about. But others of you who will help us as a local congregation, not just depending on the home office only, but increase our efforts locally in the community in Seattle just to get the truth out there. You know, we're not going to go knocking on doors and, you know, and forcing it down people's throats. No, 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 I don't mean that. But I mean, do a lot more than we've been doing to reach the people of our community, our cities, and our area. Not be ashamed of what we believe, who we are. I'm not. We have precious truth. And so we'll get this team going, and it'll be an active team of people. You'll be hearing of what will be done, and you can participate and help as you're able and want to help in doing our part. Why are we going to do this? Because, and we're wrapping it up here, because Jesus told us to. That's why we're going to be doing it. Turn with me to John chapter 4. First of all, he set the example. You know, the only person I really want to be like in the Bible, there are lots of good ones, but the main one I want to be like in the Bible is Jesus Christ. How about you? He's the one I want to imitate and follow. Think like he thinks. Notice John 4, verses 31 through 35. The disciples said to him, "Eat, Rabbi, you must have something to eat." He was hungry. But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. I will do my best, Father God in heaven, and brethren, to re-encourage and re-inspire any of you, all of you, to use your God-given talents and abilities in whatever way you can, have time to, or are willing and able to serve God more effectively, so that we can become a dynamic congregation of people, not only meeting on the Sabbath together, but also reaching out more powerfully and more effectively than we have been to spread the truth of God and to get the job done. Notice Paul's attitude. He's another outstanding individual in the Bible. Romans chapter 9. Paul was just following the example of Jesus Christ. Christ lived to serve his God and to do his will and to accomplish his work. Romans chapter 9. Notice the incredible attitude of this man. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. He says, "I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit." I mean, that's quite a statement. He wanted these people to know that he was serious saying it that way. He says, "I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart." We need to have that. The state of our people and our nation, don't we? Our love and concern for our brethren in this nation and around the world. "For I could wish," and this has always amazed me, Paul's attitude, "for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ." That means cut off from Christ. "For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." In other words, he was saying, if it could save my people, I would give my eternal life. Give it up. If that would do it. That's quite a statement. How many of you would say, "I will give up eternity in the kingdom of God," that great goal that we all know lies ahead for us, "if it would save my people, this nation?" Notice what he said in chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." And so we have got to, whatever it takes, brethren, I don't know what your health condition is, but more important is your spirit of mind and heart. That's what really matters. And many of you have a wonderful spirit and heart. And I'm not saying you don't. I just want to encourage you and inspire you today, because what God wants us to do when we see things like this happen in New York and Washington, D.C., no, it's not overreact and say the end is coming this year. Flee into the mountains. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. We'll see on trumpets there are a series of events that must take place before Christ actually returns. But I do believe, and a loving, merciful God, and I do believe that we will see continual warnings from God to His people Israel all over the world and to His people church members all over the world. And even to give warnings so that people can wake up if they're lethargic or lukewarm, because many Christians will wake up too late, won't they? But God is going to give us opportunities to, as we heard in the sermonette as well, look at our lives, evaluate what's happened to me, what's wrong with me. Have I let the events that have happened in the church turn me off so that I really, and there are many, they don't want to get involved anymore. They don't want to be actively involved in doing anything. Well, if you come to this congregation in a loving, kind, godly way, I'm going to put pressure on you to get involved. Now, if you don't want to do anything, if you don't want to be involved, okay. You might want to attend somewhere else. But, no, I don't mean that in a wrong way. I'm really thankful for every single one of you that are here today. But what I am saying is you're not going to be hearing sermons that will put you to sleep. And you are going to be hearing that we have an awesome responsibility as God's people, and not assume, oh, we're too small to do anything. You know, God can take a small group of people and magnify their efforts. And I think that's what He is doing and is going to continue to do. He loves this nation. He loves His people. He loves this world. And He's going to accomplish His will and His plan and His purpose. It's going to be done. And our responsibility is to renew our efforts in helping to preach the true gospel of the kingdom of God to this world. And to change our hearts and minds and attitudes and just do better. That's what I want us to do. I was going to go read Christ's instructions, but there is no time. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 for our closing scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ said the gospel would be preached to the world right up to the very end, and there would be people involved in doing that work right up to the very end. And here's the final scripture for us today, brethren. God's servant, the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, brethren, let us as God's people respond to this tragedy that has taken place, not only giving donations to the Red Cross, Salvation Army, whoever, helping out in that way, or giving blood, which is in great need at this time. In any other way that we can, let us respond as God's people. But also important, brethren, I would like to ask you to renew your commitment that you took at baptism. And if you're not baptized, some of you need to be. You need to be. And if you think your first baptism didn't take and you hadn't really repented and weren't converted, hey, come and talk to me. We'll do it right this time. We'll get it done. If you think that. But I've told many people have asked to be baptized again. I think you were sincere when you were baptized. I think all you have to do is make a decision that you're going to rekindle that flame of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because once God gives it to you, He won't take it away unless you commit the unpardonable sin and totally turn against Him and will not repent. And God doesn't do that lightly or quickly. And so I'm asking all of us to renew our commitment to God, our youth, our enthusiasm of spirit and heart, and not let this deed happen to America, but use it properly to light the fire under us, to save as many lives as we can in this time, no matter how long it takes. Just like President Bush said, "The focus of my administration now is to go after these terrorists as long as it takes, and it's a long-term plan." But brethren, the focus of God's work and God's church is to renew our zeal and enthusiasm for God and doing His will and His work in our life, and sharing the wonderful, precious knowledge of who we are as a nation and a people, and of the great plan of God and the future and what it holds, to share that and to work harder at it. So let us be stirred, brethren, to action.